Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome our man Anthony Slater of The Athletic. He's with us. Unfortunately, Ant-Man's at the Chase Center covering exit interviews for the Golden State Warriors.
What does he have to get a root canal? Does he have to get a cap filled? Dental office. That's what we call it out here, Anthony. It's a dental office. It's pretty quiet. It's pretty sterile in there, you know.
I figured this would be the event of the year for y'all.
It's not bad.
But I was yesterday.
It's the Warriors sifting through the wreckage of getting their season ended by the Sacramento Kings.
You know,
you two should be here. This would be the best event of the year.
We show up to the exit interviews. That'd be cold.
Ain't been to one practice all year.
That'd be cold.
Show up to the exit interviews. But bring everybody in on the cut, because I think it's fascinating what you just said to Anthony.
Yeah, so our guy Logan Murdoch, he did a story. I think it was just about the Warriors in general and what's next or whatever. And he said, there's a quote in there where he says, some analysts believe Jonathan Kuminga could fetch more than $30 million per year on the open market, a figure that would make him the second highest player on Golden State's roster. And I was kind of unclear where his contract situation is. Did they have to, you know, do his rookie extension this year, or can they wait a year? Should they wait a year? What does that look like?
You can wait. He's under contract for $7.6 million next year. That won't change. Mm-hmm. But he's extension eligible, just like anybody. Keegan Murray, you know, it's the same draft. I am wrong on that. They're a year before. Keegan Murray, next summer, we will be having.
Davion was his draft. That's right.
Davion. Yeah. Davion extension eligible. Moses Moody extension eligible. This is the year that they, coming off the title, they decided to give Jordan Poole the 4 years, $123 million. Now he was still worth $3.9 million the next season, but you locked him in, eventually traded him. So they have a choice to make. That usually comes down in October, right before Halloween, if you do or don't extend. But, you know, considering how the pool thing went, I wouldn't be surprised if they're a little bit more careful. But the truth is, he will get expensive two seasons from now. They just got to decide. Do you want to lock him in now or go to restricted free agency the following summer?
Draymond going to swing on him.
You know what time it is. Watch out in training camp, Jonathan. You know the
hands
vibes.
Up. Keep your hands up at all times, brother.
You know the vibes.
Keep your hands up at all times.
I'm not going there.
You know, one of the things that I heard that might sound a little off, but I actually see the vision is, and I think it was our guy Guru, he was just breaking down like how the Warriors believe and the coaching staff and all this other stuff, you can't play Wiggins and Kuminga at the same time. Like, they just do too many of the same things. It doesn't really work. And you've got to choose between one or the other. And obviously, in a perfect world, you would move on from Wiggins. But because of his contract and sometimes of his spotty play or whatever, he may be tougher to move on from. And if you want to talk about improving this team, you might be able to get more if you move on from Jonathan Kuminga and still keep Wiggins around. Is that something that you've heard? Is it something that makes sense at all? Because as good as I think Kuminga is, I don't think he's going to be like, I don't think he's franchised. I think he's just a really good young player. And I think if they're trying to, you know, extend that window with Steph Curry, a really good young player is not good enough. I think they're looking for like a needle mover. What do you think about that thought of moving on from Kuminga, because it might fetch you more in a trade scenario?
Well, I think to a few of your points, like the Wiggins-Kuminga pairing actually worked when Draymond came back and played center. You have to go small. Kuminga has to be a small ball four, give him more space. But, you know, those lineups really worked. When you had a center next to those two, it didn't. That pairing was rough when Draymond was suspended, really. But that derailed a large part of their season anyways. I agree with your overall assessment, you know, that Wiggins, to me, will be a salary they'll potentially look to move this summer. But Kuminga, of course, would fetch more value at $7 million next season. And you would theoretically be sending him to a team that's looking to rebuild. Obviously, he's more of a rebuilding piece. But that's what the next month's about. They have a lot of choices to make. Chris Paul's $30 million non-guaranteed that they can wipe off the books, or they can use it as a vehicle to get, you know, like another salary player from another team, or, you know, theoretically, you know, also Clay Thompson's future. You got to look at that too. So everything I think they will reassess and are reassessing. That's literally, you know, the GM just talked, Mike Dunleavy just talked about that. And I think everything's up in the air, including, you know, Kuminga could be on the table. But the one thing I will say, you know, the guy who signs the checks here is a fan of Jonathan Kuminga, was part of the drafting of Jonathan Kuminga, and I don't think we'll just as easily be like, oh, you know, chess piece to move elsewhere. Like, he has probably a higher future opinion than Kuminga than most people have.
Well, Anthony, you know, is probably better than most what happens when the owner's a fan of somebody.
Let's go down the list.
You know what happens?
But we know that matters, right? That is like vital to organizational decision making. And yes, you guys know better than me, correct?
You will be getting contracts. They're like, wait, what? I thought we were all in agreement. We wanted him out of here, but the owner was a fan. And well,
there you are. Were you surprised by what happened Tuesday?
I mean, I'm surprised it was like a runaway. I think the Vegas line had it as like 2 or something like that. I thought it was going to be a close game. I was telling people in the lead up, I thought it was going to be a little scoring. I think there was probably an outside notion from people that weren't watching the Kings on a nightly basis that they were this like, you know, up and down team still, that it was going to be 125-120. And it was like, this is not who they've been for 2 months, right? Yeah. Mike Brown has changed who they are defensively, and the personnel has forced them to. Keon Ellis has risen, no Monk, no Herder. So I thought you were going to be looking at something that was like 105-102 late. They always played close games. And I just thought it was going to come down to who screwed up at the end, because both teams had been screwing up at the end. But the Kings just ran away with it, and the Warriors just looked toasted, exhausted at the end of a long season. And I think that was my largest takeaway. And then spin it forward, and I'm sure you guys want to talk Kings Pelicans. Like, I want to see how that defense shows up in New Orleans.
Yeah, that's really the thing with this version of the Kings now, since, you know, not so much Monk, but since Herter's gone out and Keon has stepped into the starting lineup, they've started to get tenacious on the defensive end. And, you know, I love what I'm seeing. I got an inkling that it's part of their identity right now and will be moving forward. It's more of a Mike Brown type team. But, you know, I'm still a little reserved to be like, oh, they're fixed defensively forever now. I'm still waiting on that. But that is kind of the story of this team right now. And what's going on is the way they play on the defensive end, and particularly on the perimeter with Keon, with Keegan, with Davion off the bench, and I think with De'Aaron Fox too, what he's able to do on the defensive end. That has been one of the stories of this team in the last month or so.
I think Keon Ellis would be the starting two guard even if Kevin Herter hadn't got hurt. Mm-hmm. I think it was trending that way, right? You guys watched it on a nightly basis. You already felt it tilting that way. And then the other night, I'm not saying Keon Ellis is going to be an all-defensive guard, but that was an all-defensive guard performance. What was it? 5 steals, 3 blocks, bothered Steph Curry most of the game, was on Curry at times, was off. He had that block weak side, yeah. I think it was at the end of the third quarter, his floater. Like, that was like elite stuff. That was, you know, some of the stuff Derek White's been doing, like a Marcus Smart, like big time playoff game. Like, he blew up the Warriors offense. And you have De'Aaron Fox, who for a star guard, high usage guard, is about as, you know, disruptive. He kind of reminds me of Shea, which is interesting because that might be the first round series, right? The way Shea is very high in the league in steals despite the high usage. That's a really good like twosome to bother a team, especially when you're allowed to play as physical as you have been lately in the NBA and certainly in the playoffs. The question mark is still backside, no rim protection. Sabonis as your center limits you. But that's why Mike Brown did what he did the other night, right? He's blitzing Steph Curry, he's doubling, he's getting out, he's kind of using exotic schemes to bother an offense. Now, the Pelicans are different. What I do like about this matchup compared to the other ones is Mike Brown has a few days now knowing Zion's out. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to game plan for Zion. He can suddenly go, hey, Keon Ellis, lock into the CJ McCollum matchup. Mm. You know, what are ways you can take away Trey Murphy? Like, that's where he can use all of his attention. Whereas if Zion was playing, like, you can't talk much about Trey Murphy and CJ. You got to focus in on Zion. So I think if you're going to win, if the Kings are going to win Friday night, it's going to be by like kind of locking up the Pelicans, because the Pelicans can defend right back.
Mm-hmm. And the tough part about, we're talking about Keon and singing his praises from the other night. And, man, these two teams, the Warriors and the Kings, hadn't played since January 25th. And we had believed these teams were different. The Warriors were different. Certainly the Sacramento Kings were different.
Yeah.
Kings and Pelicans played on April 11th. Like, they played with Keon. Like, they and the result was the same. It was the same as the other four games. Like, they're 0-5 now. What has to be different for it to not be 0-6 for Sacramento?
Well, I don't know, because every time I'm in the building, the Pelicans look like an NBA champion. They blew the Warriors
facts.
Out a bunch this season. The next night after McCollum hits 9 threes and they blow the Kings out, I came down to a big Warriors-Pelicans game, which, by the way, if the Warriors win that, they're the 8th seed, and you never even see Kings-Warriors. The Pelicans blew them out. And I'm like, this is the best team ever if I'm in the building.
So I got an idea. How about you don't get on this flight to New Orleans?
Yeah, stay here.
Why don't you stay your happy ass right there at the Chase Center?
I'm good. But
he said, I'm going to New Orleans. Stop playing with me.
Yeah, I do. I do think the fact that there's no Zion, like, he's been – even when he's not scoring a bunch, he's just like, every time you go to a pregame Kings Pelicans game, like, that's what Mike Brown's talking about. Like, mm-hmm. their scheme to stop Zion. And then suddenly it is CJ McCollum open for more threes. It's Trey Murphy bombing from 26 feet away. Like, that's just not the game plan. So can you just limit CJ McCollum's open looks? Can you keep a body on Trey Murphy? Can you try not to allow Jose Alvarado to have as much of a imprint on the game as he's had in some of them? We'll see, but some might just come down to hitting shots too, right? Does Trey Murphy just instead miss 5 of those deep threes? Does Keegan Murray get hot again? I mean, that, like, I hadn't seen him have a game like that in a long time.
Yeah, Keegan, what he did in that Warriors game, we talked about it yesterday. It was like one of those things where there have been some question marks about Keegan, and not if he's a good player or not, but, like, man, we all had a lot of expectations for him. Is he going to be able to reach that, or is he just this type of player? And usually I'm not like, hey, one game just changes everything. But it felt like, at least for me, you saw a justification for everything the Kings had talked about going into the season and what they hoped, and De'Aaron working with Keegan, and like, no, he's really got this and that, this and that. In the brightest stage so far in this season, he showed up and it was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll give him a little more time, because I think he might have something like, maybe not 32 a night, but like that type of aggressiveness and shot making on a regular basis.
It's always a really good sign for young players when their games get better in the playoffs. And this isn't just a one-game sample for Keegan Murray. You guys remember the first-round series last year. You know, he was a little bit shell-shocked, it seemed, the first three games, to the point that I remember going into, I think it was game 4 in Chase, where I'm at, there was a question of, like, would Mike Brown replace him in the starting lineup? Would he have the quick hook? And then that night he played really well, and I think he played like 40 minutes. And if you look at his game log in that series, it went from like lower 30s, 20 minutes to 40 by the end of the series, which to me showed like, no, Mike Brown believes in him on the playoff stage, and he elevates his game in those type of scenarios. And we saw it again the other night. I'm not, like you said, I'm not just like saying, okay, he's definitely going to now score 32 in every playoff game, but I just, those are always very good signs for young players, because oftentimes it goes the other way, right? You've got a lot of players in this league that do a lot in the regular season, and suddenly playoff time, more physical, different style of game, they shrink a little bit. I mean, not that y'all want to get too deep into it, but this has been a question about Domantas Sabonis really his entire career, going back to Indy. You know, what does his game do on the playoff stage? So it's good that Keegan Murray seems to be going that way.
And it felt, going back to, Tuesday, it felt deliberate. Like, when you look at what Keegan did in the first half, it looked like it was deliberate and intentional. Like, he's going to be aggressive. He's going to be a factor in this game. He was really, really aggressive right out the gate in the first quarter.
Yeah, like, that completely flipped the game. And you could tell early that the Warriors weren't sharp, because it was like Klay would get caught on a screen and Keegan Murray would get open for three, and Klay and Draymond would be looking at each other like, was that you? Was that me? And I think that punched the Warriors in the mouth a little bit. And like, that's what Keegan has to be. There's no Malik Monk, no Kevin Herter. They can still be a good team because they've gotten better defensively. Honestly, losing those two guys in a weird way, like, does make you better defensively, but you got to still score a certain amount of points to win an NBA game. And I think a lot of those points have to come from him, because I don't think Sabonis is suddenly going to explode for 30, right? He's going to just get his normal amount of numbers. Somebody's got to get 12 of those Monk points that are no longer there. Yeah. It's pretty much got to be Keegan Murray.
Yeah, I hear you on that.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Anthony Slater, one of the hardest working men in the game right now, because he's got him covering two teams all over the place. And I've had this discussion a couple of times, and we had it again yesterday. The future of this Kings team and what they're trying to build, it's the second year of this quote unquote program they're trying to put together, you know, and they're being compared to, you know, other teams who have been at this for 4, 5, 6 years, right? Like, you should be where they're at. Well, the Kings are at the beginning of what they're trying to do. And a lot of people look at, if they're not able to make the playoffs, is this being a failure as a season? And I would definitely say you wouldn't reach the goal. For sure, there's no doubt about that. But the way that they've transformed themselves in the last month or so, with finding a guy like Keon Ellis and essentially finding your defensive guy and your two guard, and transforming how this team plays, more of a defensive team in the mold of Mike Brown. Do you think you can still pull out some positives to this series, even if you don't win on Friday night, if you miss the playoffs? So there's still some things that you can say, man, we missed our goal, but we figured some things out. We learned some things about ourselves, and now we can kind of mold our franchise around what we learned in these last couple months.
Yeah, I mean, look, they won 48 games last year. They won 46 games this season. De'Aaron Fox, I think, in the Mike Brown era, has taken his game to another level. Another guy who I think shows really well in the playoffs, just like, his game fits that. You know, this season you found Ellis. I think you did miss on some of the margins, the Vezenkovs, the Duartes, like some of that stuff hasn't worked. There's going to need to be some sharpening around the core. If you lose this game, you do keep your first round pick. It's kind of interesting how that goes. And you know, they have not emptied the cupboard, right? The first round pick cupboard that they have, and you know, made a big trade, which I still think is on the table with the various salaries that they have. But yeah, I think like this franchise is in a healthier, more positive place than they've been since this isn't a revelation, but the Chris Webber, Mike Bibby era, right? I mean, like, it's two straight mid 40 win seasons. I think if you wanted to have a conversation or an argument about could this core ever be a true title contender, I could hear no and I could hear yes, depending on like what type of trade might be available. But okay, let's say over the next 4 or 5 seasons, the Fox Sabonis core is a mid 40s to low 50s win teams that, depending on the season and depending on how good the conference is, you're maybe up to a 3-4 seed, down to a 7-8 seed playing through the play-in. Like, I think that's a good result. I think that's great basketball in Sacramento. I think that's fun nights where you go and watch these great playing games, and if stuff breaks right, like the Memphis Grizzlies are a great example, right? The grit and grind era. They never won a title. They never went to the finals. They got to, I think, one, maybe two West finals. They had these 7-game wars. Now they're retiring Marc Gasol's number and Zeebo's a local legend and Tony Allen. And like, that's viewed very positively locally. It made people a ton of money. It established that brand and that franchise there. Mm-hmm. And that might be what's going on with the Kings. I would guess, if you told me, do you think they're going to win a title or not over the next decade? I would probably say no. But I think they have a lot of really good, fun basketball going on there that they certainly did not have the last 15-plus years.
Yeah. Stilo and Casey on KIFM with Sacramento 98.5 FM, KRX QHD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, always live on the free Odyssey app. Anthony Slater of The Athletic with us. You mentioned something a minute ago about Domantas Sabonis. He's probably not going to explode and give you 30. Why?
He can give you 50.
Huh?
Said drop and give you 50.
Yeah, well, that too, but like,
why is he not?
Yeah,
he doesn't
like
shoot. Doesn't yeah, shoot. But doesn't shoot the jumper.
He's just not aggressive enough. He doesn't play outside. My thing is always, I mean, he doesn't play outside of his game. Like, he's never gonna, like, guys who get to 30, 40, 50, things like that, like they'll force some shots. They'll feel something. Domas is never going
to
do that.
To Damian's point, real quick, we feel like he was aggressive on Tuesday, and he shot 14 times.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're never going to see a Domantas Sabonis heat check.
Right, right.
Which, that's his game, you know. It's outside of him to, like, shoot three straight threes or something like that. And, you know, that's where I think Jokic over the last handful of seasons changed. If you give him the three, if you just go into a game saying, you know, we're taking this way, we're taking this way, Nikola Jokic, you can take every three you want from the top of the key. He now will. He didn't used to. Or mid-range or whatever. Like, if you – and there are times I've seen it with the Warriors. They like to make Jokic a scorer instead of a passer, which they really like to do to Sabonis too, right? They want to make Sabonis have to beat him as a scorer. Jokic now will. He will score 35 to 40. That's a change in his game, and maybe where he's just like a better player than Sabonis in a sense. He can be more of that score. I just don't think Sabonis trusts, like, okay, if you want to give me five straight mid-rangers or this or that, I'm going to keep taking them. Like, that's just it's either not in his ethos or he just doesn't believe he's going to make some of them because he's not going to do it. When's the last time he shot 20 times in a game?
He hasn't done it very often. Like, we looked it up a couple. It's I think it was like three times or four times. Like, he has not done that very often at all.
Which, by the way, scorers love to play with that, right? Like, Malik Monk's like, yeah, just fine. Like, max center, shoot 11 times because then I'm getting eight more of those shots. Yeah, and, like, Keegan Murray and Barnes now should shoot more. I think it's just how they're built and how Sabonis is. It is the other guys that got a bulk score. Sabonis is just not going to be suddenly a 26-point-per-game guy.
Yeah, in the West Sac League, I like playing with my guy Ted because all he does is set screens for me. Yeah, that's my guy.
I'll play with him
in any league because he just sets screens. Let me get my shots up, big dog. So, yeah.
Three times, by the way, is the number of times Domas shot 20 or more.
I was going to say two.
It's three.
That's with crazy. The Kings or in his career this season?
This season. It was just this season.
Okay. Yeah. That's
so, Ant-Man, what you thinking about tomorrow, man? I think the Kings, even regardless of Zion being out or whatever, I think they got a good shot. I one of the things that I kept saying was I didn't think they were playing bad basketball towards the end of the season per se. They were just – they couldn't get over the hump. They'd play good. They'd get these leads. Then they'd give up the leads. And when it got late, they weren't able to do it. That didn't equate to bad basketball. That equated to not being able to find a way to turn that good ball that you're playing into wins. They got the win on Tuesday, maybe a little bit of a confidence boost. I think they got a really, really good shot. Even before Zion was out, I thought they had a good shot of going into New Orleans and getting this win. But what do you see with everything in play now?
Yeah, I think they're going to defend well. I think they're going to have a good scheme. The fact that they got, I think, two, like an extra day because of how the schedule had to break with the play-ins, I think that helps them. I think it's going to really come down to De'Aaron Fox scoring. Particularly in the second half and the fourth quarter, he's going to need to bring them home, I think, because I think points are going to be at more of a premium than most NBA games. And it might just be him having to break Herb Jones down and score. And, you know, we're talking about an all-defensive guy against basically an all-NBA offensive type score. Herb Jones has given him problems in the past, that length. You know, Alvarado's going to be out there doing pest stuff. I'm very curious about Willie Green's rotation choices now that Brandon Ingram's back. Brandon Ingram got benched, by the way, late in that play-in game. And even when Zion Williamson got hurt, he didn't go to Brandon Ingram. He went to McCollum, who had also got benched because he was having a bad game.
Real quick, Ant, yeah. About that, mm-hmm. I saw the same thing. I was in the arena, so I couldn't really tell. Was that a minutes restriction thing or was that a performance?
Coach's
thing?
Decision. Mm. Yeah. So Ingram had missed what, like 12 games, something like that. He had a pretty bad knee bruise. And he came back in that final Lakers game on the last day of the regular season, and he played 20-something minutes. He slowed down their offense, and he was not good defensively. And remember, I mean, you remember when the Pelicans were in Golden 1. They just had all those athletes flying around. Dyson Daniels was in there, you know, causing steals, Alvarado. Ingram, I think, really affected them. And it is hard to reacclimate high-usage stars who don't necessarily play that great a defense. It's what Minnesota's dealing with Towns right now. Going into that second Lakers game, there was a thought going in like, man, if Brandon Ingram doesn't look good again, he might pull the plug on Brandon Ingram. And he did. It was a complete coach's decision. And I'm curious going into tomorrow what Willie Green does. Does he go small, right? Valanciunas, how many minutes does Valanciunas get? And then, yeah, what he does with Ingram. Because I think maybe the best way to beat this Kings team is to just envelope them in size and try to, like, you know, limit their offense.
Anthony, we appreciate you, man. We know you're absolutely swamped today, man. Appreciate you making time for us before you head to New Orleans. Leave all that bad juju you bring to the arena. Leave that stuff at Chase.
Yeah, leave it at Chase.
We don't need the all world Pelicans tomorrow night.
You might get them. All right, don't blame me if you do.
No, we will. You'd be public enemy number one.
All right, well, you know what? I won't feel as bad because I'll no longer be covering the Kings playoff run that I'm going to cover until it ends. But you
there
know,
you go.
If the Pelicans end it. But I'll be in Oklahoma City if the Kings are there. That would be a really – I don't want to get y'all too hyped, but that would be a fun series.
Oh, it would be. No, we already there. We're already hyped.
Wait.
Don't worry.
Are they going to welcome you back to Oklahoma City?
That's right. Yeah,
does OKC got beef with Anthony Slater?
So they used to call me Trader Slater, but that was when Durant left, and I left when Durant left. Now I've gone back about four times this year. I've written a few stories. I'm welcome back. I think that some of those feelings, and not just towards me, towards Kevin Durant, have softened. Okay, it's a different era. It's no longer the Russell Westbrook era. It is a new era, and they just they like coverage there, right? They're on the rise.
They definitely are. In like 20 seconds, with everything you just said. KD gets his number retired there, right?
Eventually, yes. Okay. He'll need to be retired. That'll be an emotional day. How about this? I'll leave you with this. How about Kevin Durant in his later stage career doing a welcome home mid-level, I'll come off the bench as a 39-year-old for the ascending Oklahoma City Thunder and maybe win a title in Bricktown and career comes full circle. That's something that, you know, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but man, what a storybook that was.
To play LeBron and Bronny when they're with the Kings, OKC versus the Kings.
Well, let's bring Zero back too. If we're winning rings,
Harden,
let's bring, you went a little too far with James.
Let's just
get Russ back and make sure Russ gets a ring.
Is this like Space Jam 4? Did we just make like a script here?
I'm down.
Thunderstruck. You remember Thunderstruck?
Thunderstruck. Oof. Not my bag.
No.
Good time,
no.
Right?
That
there.
Didn't hit quite as good as a Space Jam.
Wow. Yeah, that is. Oh, that's a deep cut right there. That actually took a second. That's a deep cut right there. We appreciate you, Anthony. Safe travels, brother.
Take care, baby.
All right, y'all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.